Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Richard.
Hope this Sunday finds y'all doing well. Our message today is going to come out of John 14, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 21. If you want to go ahead and turn there, and I'll start us off with a quick word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day you've given us, for the heart you've given these people to come out and worship you and learn more about you. I pray that you would speak to you, each one of us here, what you have for us to hear today. And Lord, that these would not be my words, but yours to everyone here and everyone listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, a while back, I had been having a conversation with one of the other students at my college. The subject of birthdays came up, and one of the other guys, a fellow named John, mentioned that, well, he'd had a birthday back in February, and this caught me by surprise because that conversation happened in March, and I thought I was pretty close to him. I thought we were close, and in that moment, I learned perhaps we were not. And it made me wonder how well I really knew John, my friend. And that got me thinking. If I could hang out with somebody regularly, talk with them, consider them a friend, and still not even know that their birthday had come and gone, I mean, I don't think most of us probably remember everyone's birthdays, but just miss it entirely, how easy is it to think I know someone without really knowing them? And if that's true with a friend like John, who's right there, and I can see him, I can shake his hand, you know, so on, could it also be true with Jesus? Could I believe in him, think I'm following him, think I'm serving him, and still miss actually knowing him? So if we look in John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 21, we're going to see three things. First, knowing Jesus is the only way to the Father. But with that, we're going to see it's possible to think we know Jesus without actually knowing him. And finally, we'll see the way that Jesus lays out to truly know him. So our first point, Jesus is the way to the Father. Look, in verses 1 through 7, we'll see this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, we like to try all kinds of different ways to get to heaven or God or whatever else we imagine is a good ending. Jesus shows us things like head knowledge, good works, marital status, being a good parent, whatever you want to insert there. None of that is going to get us there. Even if I know every fact about Jesus, it doesn't matter if I don't know Jesus the person, because Jesus is the only way. Not knowing about him, not being nice, Jesus, period. If we look in the first chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3, we'll see a bit on this, and I want to focus in here. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, The Hebrews offer is being pretty polite about the prophetic era. You could think of the whole history up to the world at this point as God trying to have a relationship with humanity and us breaking it on our end. Garden of Eden, sin, pre-flood humanity, so corrupt they had to be wiped out. Patriarchs, they're all very flawed if you look at their stories. Old Covenant Israel got exiled. It seems like God keeps trying things and keeps coming out with new things. And every time, nothing quite gets there until Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He doesn't say, I'm a way, one truth, a life. He doesn't say, there are many paths to the Father. He says, it's me. I'm it. There's nothing else after Jesus. And nothing besides Jesus. Bit of an illustration here. One of my various money-making endeavors is office cleaning. Other than the occasional 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift when everyone else is out, it's a pretty decent job. Don't have to do too much with customers, just put on some music in my headphones and go. And this job gives me access to a lot of buildings at times of day when I would otherwise never be allowed inside. Because of who I know, well, who I work for, I have a way in. So, I want to ask a question here. If somebody asks you, how can you be sure you're going to heaven, how are you honestly going to respond? I think most of us are probably going to give a proper, theologically correct answer about grace and Christ's sacrifice and belief, etc. And that's good. But do we mean it? Under our words, what are we really trusting in? Do I say Jesus and mean my contributions to the church's mission fund? Or say grace and really mean I read my Bible every day? Maybe my parents started the church, and deep down that's what I'm relying on. Who or what am I really leaning on? Is it Jesus or Mises? That's going to bring us to another question that's going to come out of verses 1 through 7. So we see we need to know Jesus. Right? What if I think I know Jesus, but I don't? Earlier I mentioned I hadn't known my friend's birthday. What if I hadn't known him at all? So in verses 7 through 10, Jesus, with some help from Philip, is going to show us that we can be around him and with him and still not really know him. John 14, 7 through 10. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Now, most of the reason I didn't know John's birthday is because he just never told anyone. But Philip has been with Jesus for 3 years. We would think that he should know who Jesus is, the way to the Father. He should know Jesus. It's pretty obvious here he doesn't quite get it. But before we get too smug with Philip, I want to ask, how long have we had Jesus? Maybe I heard about Jesus when I was a toddler. or a teenager, what have you. I might know everything there is to know about Jesus, but do I know Jesus? Is there a living relationship or just facts and familiarity? So Jesus says, if you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. Whereupon Philip responds with, well, show us the Father. Kind of missing the point. It's a bit reminiscent of what we see in Matthew 16:13, where Jesus first asks his disciples who people in general say he is. And they respond, well, some say John the Baptist, others one of the prophets. When he asks the disciples who they say he is, Peter's going to respond, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The world doesn't know who Jesus is, but Peter does. And just where we saw Philip get told off because he didn't know Jesus, let's see what he says to Peter here in Matthew 16:14. Jesus replied to Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. So notice the difference here. Jesus blesses Peter, not because Peter is that great, and we'll see more about this later, but because Peter knows Jesus. But there are no blessings at all for the people who think Jesus is John the Baptist, Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They don't know him. They have all kinds of ideas about him, but they don't know Jesus. What I want to get at here is there are two ways, at least two ways, we can miss Jesus. We may have correct information, but no relationship. Or we might have the wrong information entirely and miss the real Jesus altogether. To illustrate this, I want to tell a story I heard about a pastor who briefly met Troy Aikman, one of the Dallas Cowboys quarterbacks from when the Cowboys were actually good. They had a quick, polite conversation in a restaurant, and that was it. But as time passed, oh, I met Troy Aikman the other day, became, I know Troy. We're on a first-name basis, man. Kind of like a one-pound bass turning into a trophy fish after the story gets told enough times, this random encounter became something a lot more than it was. But unlike a fish story, this all fell apart when he ran into Dallas number 8 again at an event. One of his friends asks for an introduction, and when he approached the quarterback with a casual, oh, hey, Troy! All he got was a very confused, do I know you? It's one thing to know about someone. It's something else entirely to know them. The same thing is true with Jesus. And if I don't have the right picture, well, you ever tried to get somewhere with bad directions? Good luck. So, I have to ask, do I know Jesus? Have I just heard about him? Maybe I met him once at a spiritual, you know, social event, and I've tried to make that one meeting into a long-term relationship. Do I know who Jesus is? Or have I, like the people in Peter's day, settled for an idea of Jesus that sounds spiritual but just isn't true? If I only know about Jesus, but I don't have that relationship, I end up like Philip, close, but still missing the point. If I don't understand who Jesus is, I might never even get close to begin with. I need to be with Jesus, and I need to understand who he really is. Now, John has shown us here that it is good to know Jesus, and Philip has helped us to see maybe knowing Jesus isn't as automatic as we'd expect. So where do we go from here? How can I know for sure that I know Jesus? And that's going to bring us to our third point. Knowing Jesus means believing in him and obeying him by the power of the Spirit. So John 14, verses 10 through 21. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. I want to point something out here. To start off, Jesus says the word believe four times in verses 10 through 12, and twice as a command. I think this may be a good place to start if we want to figure out how to know Jesus. So if you'll forgive me for bringing up memories of high school English, we're going to look at some grammar here briefly. So the Greek word here is a verb, meaning something's happening, present tense, so the action continues. This isn't a one-time thing. It's not something that's already done. It's not something you're going to do. It's something that we do now. And it's active voice, meaning we are responsible. So when Jesus says believe here, this isn't passive, just, oh, yeah, Jesus is cool and stuff, I guess. And it's not my parents or friends or spouse or kids believe. I have to believe. I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. So having figured that out, what does this belief lead to? So in verses 13 through 15, Jesus is going to connect belief with two things. One, doing even greater things and keeping his commands. But this isn't just about trying harder, doing more good things, donating more money to the church or whatever. Because with this, Jesus immediately promises another advocate, the Holy Spirit. The command to obey is not separate from the Spirit who empowers us to obey. And more than that, the Spirit doesn't just help us work. He helps us to know. Because obedience without relationship is never the goal. God does not want just performance. He wants connection. And the Spirit helps us live in that connection. After Philip's confusion previously, the obvious question for the disciples, and I think for us, is, what does it take to truly know Jesus? And Jesus is going to answer that question. It starts with, believe me, then keep my commands. But we know just doing what someone says doesn't mean we have a relationship with them. I file my taxes every year because I believe the government will penalize me if I don't. I would probably not say that I have a deep friendship with the IRS because of that. Relationship requires interaction, not just compliance. That's why Jesus promises the Spirit. Up until now, the disciples have known Jesus by simply walking with him in person. But that's changing. Jesus is about to leave. And if they want to continue to know him, they'll need the advocate, the Spirit. And so will we. Because I don't know about you, but I've never physically walked beside Jesus. And just like the disciples, I can't rely on facts and things that I know by themselves. Pardon. I have some old family letters from 1903. I can read them. I can find out facts about the people who wrote them from those letters, but I don't know them. And if I don't have the Spirit, the Bible is going to be exactly the same thing. I can only know about God without the Advocate. So the Spirit is how we go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. If you remember how I said when we were looking at Matthew 16 that Jesus probably doesn't bless Peter because he's all that great, well, we're going to see why here. At the end of the very last chapter in John 13, Peter very boldly says, "I will lay down my life for you, Jesus." Jesus replies, "Really? Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And sure enough, Peter does. He'll deny Jesus in front of the oh-so-fearsome visage of a slave girl, which was not very fearsome if you know anything about that culture. Peter absolutely knew about Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. When Jesus was no longer beside him, Peter collapsed. But here's something interesting. If we look in Acts, the fourth and fifth chapters, Peter and John are going to get dragged in front of the very people who killed Jesus, the Sanhedrin, several times. But something's different. Peter is going to stand up and boldly proclaim, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, has been raised from the dead." So what changed? Not Peter's knowledge. He knew who Jesus was, not his courage. And I would submit, not his effort either. Nothing but the Spirit. Because when you look in Acts there, you're going to see it's not Peter filled with good information or Peter with a strong work ethic or good intentions or what have you. It's Peter filled with the Spirit who's able to stand up to the religious authorities when he's put to the test. He was transformed because he no longer just knew about Jesus. He knew him. And the Spirit made the difference. So how can we go from the Peter who ran from a servant girl to the Peter who stood in front of the Sanhedrin? Well, between when Peter runs away and when Peter can stand, we're going to see this. In Acts 1, the disciples, waiting for the Spirit to be given, are in prayer the whole time. They might not have had printed Bibles, but they would have memorized Scripture, and they would have been going over that. And they knew what they needed most, to know Jesus through the Spirit. So, why don't we take that same posture? Yes. Read your Bible. Pray. Not to check a box, "Oh, I read my Bible today," or win a theological debate. Read and pray to know Jesus, to have those conversations with him that we need to have. Let's not go to prayer trying to solve predestination, not open our Bible to settle an argument about tongues or timelines. Read the Bible. Pray to get to know Jesus. Go to Jesus. Ask the Spirit to help you know him. I think of it like going to meet an old friend at a restaurant. I'm not there to talk to the waiter. I'm there to talk to the friend. And when I want to meet up with somebody, well, I'm probably going to work out the details in advance. When, where, what are we going to do? Maybe even what we'll talk about. And if I'm planning that much for a friend, shouldn't I do at least the same for Jesus? So, what do we need to plan for our next meeting with God? Well, I know I have a few conversation topics for when I talk to him. I want to go to heaven. Am I following the way there? Am I following Jesus? I do know a lot about Jesus, but do I know him? I say I want to know him, but do I believe him? I say I believe him. Do I obey him? Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I reading Scripture to know Jesus? Am I praying to spend time with him? Since that conversation where I mentioned my friend John had brought up that his birthday had come and gone without any of us knowing, I'd say I've gotten to know him because I spent time with him. I've talked to him to get to know him. We've gone and done things. We climbed the South Hill of the Scotts Bluff Monument together. I know John now because I spent time with him with the goal of making an effort to know him as a person and not just as a collection of facts. I've climbed a hill with John. When was the last time I climbed a hill with Jesus?